because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 13:11. Greetings. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries. Chapter 70. The Mystery of the Seven Stars. The Sword of Protection. Scriptures. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Revelation 1, verses 10 to 20. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Luke 6:22-23. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Psalms 1, verses 1 to 3. Flee out of the middle of Babylon, and each man deliver his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity. For this is the time of Jehovah's vengeance. He will give to her a just reward. Babylon has been a golden cup in Jehovah's hand, which made all the earth drunk. The nations have drunk of her wine. Therefore the nations rage. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Wail for her. Take balm for her pain, if perhaps she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go, each one into his own country, for her judgment reaches unto the heavens and is lifted up to the skies. Jehovah has brought forth our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of Jehovah our God. Jeremiah 51, verses 6 to 10, Modern King James Version. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. John 6, verses 35 to 38. And out of the throne proceedeth lightnings and thunders and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Revelation 4 and verse 5. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, nor reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 5. End scriptures. Two visions. First vision. The sword of the Lord was elevated just above the surface of the earth, but was pointing with the tip straight downwards. The hilt of the sword, straight up, held there as if by an invisible hand. The sword was seen before an overcomer. This overcomer represented the entire company of overcomers since the time of Christ up until now in our day. This vision was taking place in real time, current time, not a future time, but a time as it is now. As one man, the sword was before them in this down-facing fashion. The sword very quickly and with much power made circles around the overcomer. Circle after circle, as many as need be, with no let-up in the motion of it, around the body of the overcomer. As the sword moved in circles around the overcomer, I saw that it cut off from them the realms of darkness, the arrayed powers that were set to destroy the life and testimony of the overcomer, the stance and faith that the overcomer makes, and the walk that they chose. The sword not only cut off all of that, but also cut the overcomer off from all other things around them in the world of men. Separate now unto God, and separate now from the influences of the world. So the sword of the Lord did this cutting off and the separation, all in anticipation of God's greater work, which is about to happen. End vision. Second vision. As the Spirit of God had once brooded over the face of the waters when God had created the heavens and the earth, so saw I God once again. This vision was in real time. It was a motion of spirit that is current, not future. Not past, but is happening at this present time. God was above the earth as if it were an overcast cloud, thick, dark, and very large, covering the entire scope of the earth and all that was within it. God brooded over the earth, as he had done when he originally laid the foundation of the earth and set the 6 days of creation in order. However, this time God did not move as though he reflected the waters of the earth. Instead, I saw that there came forth waves of fire and flame, a heat generated by the presence of God and by the power of his voice uttering from within the lightning and the thunder of the overcasting cloud. The fire was burning down to the bottom portion of the cloud, and the heat of this fire was in purity and in holiness, and was the very person of God Almighty, even the Ancient of Days. The surface of the earth began to heat up, and the earth below the lands, the seas, the nations, and all man had built began to feel this heat and to be utterly and completely destroyed. End vision. Continuing on now in the third part of the mystery of the seven stars. In this vision, I saw seven lamps of fire before the throne of God, and then it was related to the seven stars in the hand of Christ Jesus. The vision, however, is incomplete as yet, and so it is anticipated to come forth in its time to edify and encourage us as to the seven spirits of God. Those spirits are listed as 1, the Spirit of the Lord, 2, the Spirit of Wisdom, 3, the Spirit of Quick Understanding, 4, the Spirit of Counsel, 5, the Spirit of Might, 6, the Spirit of Knowledge, 7, the Spirit of the Fear of the Lord. This latter is sorely lacking in our world, the fear of the Lord. And it is to be noted that the Lord has not only drawn a line in the life of the overcomer, he has also drawn a line separating the overcomer from the rest of the world. These things will soon be manifested in our understanding in a quiet and a confident way, without any fanfare or loud trumpets, but by a declaration from the Holy Spirit of these spirits resting upon the overcomer. In the past, I had received a vision of a timeline. This vision came with much war in the spirit. It was written in the New Jerusalem section of these writings and was called The Foundations, Cephas, Fear Not. I will paste the vision in now. Quote from Cephas, Fear Not. I beheld a silver line across the sky above me. The silver line was smooth and straight with no imperfection, bright in silver color, and very straight and true. I could see that it extended to the left from the foundation of the creation of the world, and to the right it extended into a space that was beyond my eyesight. I knew that this was a timeline of the Spirit in the kingdom of God's dear Son. Running parallel below this line was a second line, a swirling trail of brown cloud, thick and dirty. The cloud started in Eden, on the left, in the heart of Adam, and extended through history. It ran completely parallel with the silver line. However, it was not straight, but very crooked. I noticed that at key points of history, this line would dip and thicken where iniquity increased in the earth. I saw the brown line of cloud extend through the main kingdoms in history gone by, the crucifixion of Jesus, wars of various kinds of the world, world wars in our recent history, for I saw it come to an explosive end. The explosive end of this line was a greater measure of thickness and of the increase of iniquity, unlike any other area of history before it. The explosion of this line was as if it ran into an invisible wall. He who has ears to hear, let them hear this. The line exploded and extended in the Lord's chosen time and vision. End quote. From Fear Not, Cephas. This was written again in the New Jerusalem in a writing called The Paradise of the Lord, The Bulwarks. Here is a quote from The Bulwarks. Quote, about 2 weeks after this vision, the Lord said to me that this timeline explosion had already taken place. Looking around in the newscasts and in the world in general, I did not see any nuclear explosion, any torrential storm that caused worldwide destruction. Iniquity was and is still rampant. The mystery of iniquity is still revealing that perdition which loves to deceive. There was nothing that could suggest to me that the world, as we had seen it now, had suddenly changed direction. The manifestation of the sons of God had not taken place, and the New Jerusalem was not seen settling somewhere on the dust of the earth. So what did the Lord mean when he said that this had already happened? It was to those who have borne faithfully their crosses and who have not fallen into this lukewarm assumption about the purposes of the Lord for this day we are in. The exploding timeline against this invisible wall is clear to me now. The wall was the Lord himself, cutting off from his purposes those who will not repent of their iniquitous doctrines. These who itch the ears, who take God's word and water it down to supple conclusion rather than seriousness of the day we live in. If you think that everyone will be a part of what the Lord is about to do, you are right. Everyone will be a part of it, but not everyone will be manifested in a glorified body. Only they who have been part of this explosion will be manifest to carry his unlimited fullness. Everyone else will be affected by it, for this present world order will end at the time of this manifestation. Those who held on to these false assumptions and lukewarm doctrines will suffer the loss of those very same doctrines. These things will fail when the crunch time comes, when the shaking tears apart their belief system and only the holiness of the Lord and of his city remains. The bulwarks rise in testament against these who hold such things dear and as truth. They will not enter the city with such defilement upon them. The purpose of the Lord is to restore all things, but it will be done in order, not by assumption, but by the spirit of burning, not by self-aggrandizing doctrines, but by the simple exaltation of Jesus Christ himself alone. And the Lord will not manifest large masses of people to do this, but only a very small core of humanity, a small company, a little stone cut out of the mountain. This will be so that all men in all generations and for all time will know that the Lord is the one doing this, not men, his great love, not man's choice. End quote. In the Bulwark's writing, the explanation came forth that the explosion of the timeline was the Lord cutting off the number of they who would form his army. I am speaking of the army of the Lord who will rise in the first resurrection. This cutting off did two things. First, it separated the full, complete, numbered, overcoming company of saints unto the further processing of the Lord through personal crosses, fires, purging, stripping, cleansing, and all such things, including the onslaught of the company of dragon worshippers, brackets demons, and all such as are yielded to these negative influences. The cross still works in these whom the Lord concluded in this tally. The second thing the explosion of the timeline did was it took note of and revealed who was not of the overcoming company, those who did not yield to the Lord or to his processing judgments, those who will not rise in the first resurrection. It separated the true overcomer from those who display religious tradition and the doctrines of devils and men who have no present motion of spirit. In the interim, the Lord has taken the overcomer aside and has processed them with vigor. They are completely clouded as to knowing where the presence of the Lord is. Where is he working? Knowing his person in their midst. Heaven to the overcomer has become like brazen brass burnt in a furnace of fire. They seem to have no spiritual life at all. They are hanging on in sometimes almost impossible worldly circumstances, and on top of it all, that they only have faith that at one point they heard right and came out from everything. Separated now unto the Lord by faith alone, not by sight or feeling or by power, but only by faith, they stand ready for anything. But they don't know what that anything is. They seem to have lost God's presence. His person has sort of disappeared from them, and they are like strangers, wandering around in the wilderness of wickedness, wishing that the Lord would move in their lives so they can see the next stage in what God has promised. Instead, the true overcomer is stuck, seemingly, in the very same circumstances, sometimes even worse circumstances, waiting, watching, wondering when and if God will move, and always hoping that it will happen. Silently, the Lord is working in them. I'll say that again. Silently, the Lord is working in them, moving in them, and preparing them in an ever so quiet manner that even their understanding seems to miss any motion of his spirit in their own life. They wonder at the length of time this is taking. Yet they know that it is by faith, not sight, and so they continue grounded in this and anticipating all that the Lord has for them next. Yet waiting and watching and hoping continues all while the Lord continues to remove from the overcomer all that he sees in them that needs to be taken away. As I also said, the line betwixt the flesh and the spirit of the overcomer is now also fully drawn. But to know this is still our desire. The world has had two things happen to it. First, the Lord withdrew his hands from this world of men, so it seems, and his presence, truth, and the mannerisms of his spirit working all seem to have been removed from the world. We have now a world that seems to be coursing out of control. High in finance, technology, the wonders of modern science, current politics, current religions, all of it is out of control. The world has increased in both bondage and free-flowing iniquity. I'll say that again. The world has increased in both bondage and free-flowing iniquity. Secondly, it is almost like the restraints have been cast off and the beast is charging uncontrolled. every known iniquity in world history is working in the world of men right now, and there seems to be no constraint whatsoever. There is no safe place for anyone to stand at all, not even one square inch of the world's surface has any safety within it. So picture this. The overcomers were separated out and unto the Lord. They were taken aside and made to sit aside and to wait for the Lord to finish his perfecting work in them. In the meanwhile, the presence and purpose of God seems to have disappeared from the earth. Instead, we have a world that is out of control, winding its way down the long, slippery path of utter destruction. Plus one more thing. The Lord has now begun to shake all things. Everything has come to a head. It is all ready to explode, it seems. The pressures are almost insurmountable. Nothing can be done to fix the world of man, and the Lord is the one shaking it. It seems almost like the Lord has forgotten about the earth, but quite the contrary. He is preparing the overcomers to take it and to conquer it and to possess it. There is a spark of light shining forth into our faith. That light is the conglomerate glow of the seven stars in the right hand of the living Christ, that man who was raised from the dead, who is the great high priest passed into the heavens on our behalf. He was the first overcomer. We will be the next, as one man called to ordained life in this world in bodies glorified. We see the seven stars as testament to the power of his seven spirits working in us, a testimony that only one who bears a cross can claim. We have been reduced to faith alone, no feeling, no sight. Like blind faithful ones, we wait his promise. But that is exactly what the Lord wanted of us as an overcoming company. Not a people filled with such power as to make them daunting to look at. Not a people who are so high and so holy that no one can touch them. But a people who know what it means to dwell in the dust, who have poured forth the dust of this earth upon their own heads, who knows what it means to suffer the elements of time and the condemnation of enemy forces which would tempt them to become religious in their walk with God. The Lord has, in this very minute of this very hour, reduced the true overcomer to a confined place of faith alone. That which he sees, and that alone, is what pleases him. That is what he sees, and that alone is what pleases him. The world, careening towards oblivion, is unaware of the overcomer in their midst. I'll say that again. The world, careening towards oblivion, is unaware of the overcomer in their midst. Their testimony they have already rejected, even as the testimony of the two witnesses tormented they that dwelt upon the earth. So the world and religious Christendom has cast off the overcomer, those who form the two witness company. We are the forgotten ones. The overcomers are the despised ones. They are acquainted with grief. They know of no one who knows their sorrow. They are fully identified with the crucified Jesus. The time is coming, dear reader of this page, in which the bright glory of the seven stars, the witnessed presence of God by the fullness of his unbounded and unlimited Spirit, shall emerge from your faith and shall be manifested in this earth for all to see. Those that rejected you will see the risen Lord in you. Again, the time is coming, dear reader of this page, in which the bright glory of the seven stars, the witnessed presence of God by the fullness of his unbounded and unlimited Spirit, shall emerge from your faith and shall be manifested in this earth for all to see. Those that rejected you will see the risen Lord in you, and you will be in a deathless body. The manifestation of the sons of God is not wishful thinking or a fanciful hope. It is a fact, and it is going to happen, and it will happen instantly. In the world, dear overcomer, you are struggling to keep your head above water. The money is tight. The body is weak and hurting. The life you live is almost impossible to bear. You are one who has faith, and that faith is what is keeping you. That faith that no man or circumstance can take away from you. That faith that is replete with all you need to have a confident hope. Just as sure as the sun is going to rise on a new day, so sure it is that you will come to the end of your faith and you will receive from the living Christ the full measure of these seven stars, even the Spirit of Father without measure in your new glorified body. Again, the end of your faith that you will receive from the living Christ, the full measure of these seven stars, even the Spirit of Father, without measure in your new glorified body, the full person of God, the weight of his glory, the purpose he has in infinite wisdom. This will reside in your glorified flesh. You, as an individual, possess a definite end. Your end is to be filled with all the fullness of God in infinity. It is an unmeasured portion, not ending, not ceasing, not limited in any way by time, distance, or power. The immeasurable person of God found in those seven stars granted to the overcomer, that is your portion. God is right on time with all of this. Not one thing has been out of time. All of it has been in perfect time. Your time is becoming timeless. Your timeless will be infinite. Your infinite will be the hope of all the cosmos and of this earthen creation. The full measure of the Lord will be yours as you continue to submit to the separation of his sword and the working of his power in you to prepare you for what he is about to do. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.